Today we are observing the Sunday after Easter, which is Low Sunday. And it is not to be taken as something or a day or an occasion which is to be a letdown over what we have experienced only last Sunday. Namely, the magnificent, the tremendous resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. St. Thomas was not with them when our Lord appeared to his disciples. St. Thomas was undoubtedly a good-willed person. That was obvious. St. Thomas loved our Lord. That was also obvious. But St. Thomas was probably a great deal like many of us, who, unless we have absolute, undeniable, unquestionable proof, we will not believe. God does not work that way. Regardless of any other consideration that we may bring to our minds today, the thing that is most important to us and has to be kept important to us is our ability to believe. The world doesn't believe. The world doesn't care to believe. The world does not know that it doesn't care to believe. And many of us go through life demanding proof. Proof for everything. Unless I put my finger into the hole of his nails, unless I put my hand into his side, I will not believe. And are we not today walking around demanding absolute proof? Unless this, unless that, I will not believe. And the whole mystery, the whole wonder of our Holy Catholic belief, because of the fact that we are perhaps a stiff-necked generation, we could be, our belief is going with the wind. I think I told you here some week or so ago, I believe I did, if I'm repeating myself, please forgive me. That I, with one of the monks, was eating our lunch one day while in another city doing some work. And a gentleman came and sat at the next table, which was very close by. He saw that we were priests. Obviously, this man was an educated man. It is also, to me, it was somewhat obvious that he was probably a teacher, upper level probably. And this man said, "You're priests?" And he said, "Yes." We said, "Yes." And he said, "Isn't it a shame that our faith is dead?" Those are dreadful words. Our Lord said he would be with us. We all know that, and we hide under that expression, under that thought of his. We all hide under that. And because our Lord said, I will be with you always, that we come to the conclusion that regardless of what it is that we're talking about, that we are under the shadow of his protective wing, and that nothing is going to happen to us. Everything is going to be fine. Fine. We put all of the burden, on God. St. Thomas put all of the burden on God, on Christ, didn't he? Unless I can put my finger into the nail, he was so self-righteous. Unless I can put my finger into the print of the nails, unless I can put my hand in his side, unless I can feel the blood, I will not believe. And so, what has happened to our faith? I am not ready to say, and I will not say, our faith is dead. This man may have been speaking for himself. It's possible. But he may also be speaking in great measure about most of us today. This brings to the point of focus which we are going to develop a little bit more in a week or two. No, we do not have our Lord and Savior where we can go and put our finger into the print of his nails. But we have something that does demand the kind of faith that our Lord spoke of when he answered Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen yet have believed. And what is that that he might be referring to? It is the Eucharist. Now the question about the Eucharist is this. The Eucharist is either the most glamorous, well thought out, well planned bit of foolishness this world has ever known. Or it is the most serious business that this world has ever known. And in between these two extremes, there is a wide gulf. Which most men tread today, but gives no answer. That's where many of the people that we know, members of our families, our loved ones, that's where they are. But the center of Catholic belief is the Blessed Eucharist. That perhaps explains the move that our tabernacles have been relegated to the broom closets. Blessed are they who have not seen. I have heard in the last, it's amazing that it has all been popping up in the last few weeks, popping up here and popping up there, popping up in the most unexpected places, that many of us are coming to the conclusion that even those of us with the greatest amount of piety within us, the greatest amount of devotion within us, the strongest kind of prayer life within us, have a defective impression of the Eucharist. And we have to work on this. We have to take this with all of the seriousness that it belongs. Go out this door and tell the world that the Blessed Eucharist is the most important item that rests upon the face of this earth, and you will be laughed to scorn. And we know it, do we not? And for the sake of the Eucharist, the Blessed Eucharist, that we have to put our lives on the line, if necessary. For too many of us, we are actually afraid to ask the question. When the priest approaches me, and he puts something on my tongue, what is that something? What is the problem with that something? What is it that the priest puts on my tongue? Is it a piece of bread? Is it a cookie? Is it a pretzel? Is it a potato chip? What is it that he puts on my tongue? Do we have the courage to really put forth the belief, the kind of belief that our Lord was speaking of in today's gospel, that that is not bread, it is not a pretzel or a cookie, it is something that is alive, it is something that is living flesh, it is the body of Jesus Christ. And this is what we have to come to grips with. We have to see that in the holiness of our minds and hearts. Blessed are those who do not see, yet who believe. And for us to expect that which is in the Eucharist, which is in that which the priest puts on our tongue, for us to expect that it comes to us in all of the magnificence of the glory of heaven, then we have exercised no faith. We've exercised presence. And we have to watch that we do exercise faith. Our blessed Lord, whereas he said, I will be with you always. Didn't he say that? Yes, he did. But he also said something else. He said, when I come back the second time, will I find any faith? Where are we in this great panorama that I am talking about? Where are we? What position do we hold? So as we look now after Easter, we've gone through the horrors of Holy Week, Good Friday. Now we are in the period of glory. Let us not put our faith back on the back burner and just exist from week to week to week. Why is it that we are in this church at this moment right now? What is the cause? What is that which has attracted us here? What has brought us here? What has kept us here? Is it some idle bit of obligation that we somehow feel we have to perform on a Sunday morning? Or is it because we do not like what's going on elsewhere? But what brought us here? What puts me here in this spot right now? Is it you? Is it a building? What is it that has me here in this spot right now? And that I feel urged on by this which has put me in this spot. I did not walk here of my own free will, as a matter of fact. But there's something that I cannot run away from. What is it? What is it? And that something that I speak of, how must I serve that something? See, we're not dealing, my beloved people, with just ordinary things. The language that is the words, the vocabulary that is being used is dealing with something that does not pertain to the here and now. And that is what we have to discover. And once discovered, we simply cannot turn away from. Because to turn away from that is automatic destruction. We tried that once before, did we not? At the very beginning, did we not? And were we not faced with complete abandonment of purpose until God Himself had to step in and present a plan that would save us. Now we have walked away yet another time. Is God to come down and present us with another plan? I don't know. The only thing I do know is that it worries me when I see the allurements, the lights, the power, the glory, the magnificence of that which is on the tree in the middle of the garden. And I'm so attracted to it that I nearly have to tie myself to a post to keep from going there to it. My beloved people, it is time that we worked on our belief, that we worked on our faith. Yes, our blessed Lord will be with us, but we have to believe. We have to believe who He was. We have to believe what He was. We have to believe in what He did with all of our hearts and minds and souls, my beloved people.